Henry Ford and his Ford Motor Company had the corner on the market. Henry Ford had perfected the Model T. He developed, of course, the assembly line. And he was poised to fill the world with Model T Fords. But when people started to come to Henry Ford saying, "Mr. Ford, we would like a Model T Ford in a different color," he remarked, "You can have a Model T Ford in any color you want as long as it's black." And at that moment, the Ford Motor Company began to lose market share because Henry Ford was unwilling to make a change. We're in a series on the book of Joshua entitled Claiming God's Victory. God's people Israel were going from 40 years of wandering in the wilderness because of their unbelief to claiming the victory that God had promised them into the land that he had promised them. So I'm going to invite you to turn in your Bible to the book of Joshua chapter 5, and we'll consider this entire chapter today, Joshua chapter 5. Well, when we left Joshua and his 1.5 to 3 million people, we left them in a place called Gilgal. They had passed over the impassable barrier of the Jordan River. They've watched God miraculously take them beyond what they ever thought could be done. But God did it for them. Now they're on the other side of the Jordan River. They're encamped in this place between the Jordan River behind them, and ahead of them is the great city Jericho to their west. They're finally in the land. God's power is clearly enough. He's working for them. And beside all of that, chapter 5, verse 1 tells us about what was happening in the lives and the minds of the people of the land where the people of Israel were going, whom they would one day conquer. Chapter 5, verse 1 of the book of Joshua, "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until they were passed over, that their heart melted. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel." Before there was ever a fight, they had already given up the fight. So for the people of Israel, I would imagine they're saying, "Let's claim God's victory. God's brought us over the land. Let's go forward. Let's start fighting and claiming all that God promised us." But in this chapter, before they go forward to claim all that God had promised them, God says, "No, hold on a minute. Because I'll give you that land, I'll do everything I've promised you I'll do, but you're not ready yet. There are some changes that you need to make so that you can go forward into the victory that I have promised you." In fact, in this chapter, there are three important changes that the people of Israel had to make to prepare them for victory. And in your life, what you will find is that there are changes that God wants to make in you to prepare you for the future victory he has for you. You're going into new territory. You're conquering new avenues. There are new battles to fight. You're watching God work in your life. You're seeing the power of God. But before you get to all of that, to the fullest extent that God has for you in your life, there are some changes that need to take place. And what you will find is that as the people of Israel had changes that they needed to make, you will find there are changes that God wants to make in you. And so it brings us to the question of this day. I've already asked it to you a couple of times, but I want to say it again. Here's the question: God, through your word and by the Holy Spirit, would you show me the changes that you want to make in my life? Is that your prayer? Let's pray and ask God to do that very thing. Lord, I've asked us, and we've already thought about this, and our prayer is asking you to show us, as the word is proclaimed and the Holy Spirit personalizes what you are doing in through your word in each of our lives, that you would reveal to us the changes that must take place for us to claim the victory that you've have for us. And Holy Spirit of God, we pray that you would do this supernatural work. We yield to you as a preacher. I yield to you for help, as a hearer. All of us, we come to you. So wherever we are, you know where we are. And it is our prayer that then you would bring us to that next step. And so we pray, Lord, for your help. And we believe you for it, because we're asking this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, here's the first of the three changes that the people of Israel needed to make. And maybe you'll find in your life that you'll need to make as well. The first change is this: put our past in perspective. Put our past in perspective. How important is it to put our past in perspective for Israel and for you? You can't have freedom and victory in the present or the future until you experience God's power over the past. Now, there may be just the mention of the past has brought something to the forefront of your mind that is just so fresh and so important to you, because this is something that you're dealing with in your own life, and God brought it there because he wants to deal with this in your life. It may be when I just mentioned about the victory over the past, and maybe this became a day, just a few moments of rejoicing, because you look back at things that you've dealt with that God helped you through in your life, and you look back and just thinking about it, it doesn't hold power over you anymore, but it really is a reminder of the goodness of God to help you to move past. And you already were worshiping the Lord this morning and saying, Lord, thank you for helping me pass that in my life. And it may be that God is preparing you, because everybody has things happen in our lives that become part of our present and part of our past that he's going to help us work through and get past. And so God is working in here in your life, and he's preparing us. And as God is dealing with Israel to move forward in their lives and to put their past in perspective, God takes them in this journey, and he gives them three reasons why you must deal with the past and put it in perspective. One is to restore your relationship with God. So we begin with Israel's covenant relationship with God. Of all the people in all the world, there is no people like the people of Israel. God gave them a covenant through Abraham, the progenitor of the Jewish people. It was given to Abraham. It was given to his descendants, Genesis chapter 12. Then God sealed the covenant with a sacrifice, Genesis chapter 15. And then God gave a sign or a token of the covenant to Abraham and to his descendants. We read about it in Genesis chapter 17. You don't need to turn there, but I'll turn there in my Bible. And you tell me, what was the sign, the token of this covenant? Genesis chapter 17. I will begin reading in verse 9. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 9. I will read through verse 11. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. What was the sign of the covenant that God made with his people Israel? Circumcision. So every little boy baby was to be circumcised. This made the Jewish people who identified their covenant relationship with God was a reminder of their covenant relationship with God. It was a physical sign, and it reminded them that their bodies were not theirs. Their bodies were God's. They were people who lived in a place surrounded with an ungodly culture, an ungodly worship, and ungodly values that were immoral and wicked in the sight of God. And God reminded them that your body is not yours. So he gives them a physical sign to remind them. And beside this being a physical sign, this was a covenant sign. It reminded them that their identity was shaped by their relationship to God and the privileges and the responsibilities they had in a relationship with God. So that in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, God describes his view of them in this wonderful covenant relationship that he had when he tells them, "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure, a special treasure to me. Above all people, for all the earth is mine. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So that God gave them a new identity connected in to their relationship with him. Oh, they were a special people. Now, after their rebellion, 40 years before this generation was moving forward in their lives and claiming the victory that God had, after their rebellion and their refusal to believe God, the people did not fulfill the sign of the covenant. So when they crossed over the Jordan, do you know what Joshua did first before the people could move into the victory God gave them? Read about it now, Joshua chapter 2 or 5, beginning in verse 2. "At that time the Lord said unto Joshua, make thee a sharp knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time. And Joshua made him sharp knives and circumcised the children of Israel at the hill of the foreskins." And this is the cause why Joshua did circumcise. "All the people that came out of Egypt that were males, even all the men of war, died in the wilderness, by the way, after they came out of Egypt. Now, all the people that came out were circumcised, but all the people that were born in the wilderness, by the way, as they came forth out of Egypt, them they had not circumcised. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness till all the people that were men of war, which came out of Egypt, were consumed, because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord, unto whom the Lord sware that he would not show them the land which the Lord sware unto their fathers that he would give us, a land that floweth with milk and honey. And their children, whom he raised up in their stead, them Joshua circumcised, for they were uncircumcised because they had not circumcised them by the way." So there's a renewal before they can move forward. They had to renew their relationship with God. Circumcision was a physical sign, but this was a physical sign with spiritual significance. We read about the spiritual significance of it in Deuteronomy chapter 10. I'll read verses 12 through 16. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 12 to 16. Moses is preparing the people of that generation to move forward after his death, and they would then follow Joshua into the promised land. And Deuteronomy is his swan song to prepare the people to move forward in their lives and to all that he had promised them. And listen to what God tells them about circumcision. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command thee this day, for thy good. Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens is the Lord's thy God, the earth also, with all that therein is. Only the Lord had a delight in thy fathers to love them, and he chose their seed after them, even you above all the people as it is this day. Circumcise therefore the foreskin of your heart, and be no more stiff-necked." You see, God was really dealing with the heart, a heart that loved him, and was willing to restore the sign of the covenant of the relationship that he had with them. A heart that is turned to the Lord. Now that was Israel's covenant relationship with God. Let me ask about your covenant relationship with God. In Colossians chapter 2, and you can keep your place in the book of Joshua, but in Colossians chapter 2, God describes the covenant relationship that he has with people through the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 2, you want to find verse 10. We will read through verse 13. It's a wonderful principle described in verse 10. And ye are complete in him, that is in Jesus Christ, which is the head of all principality and power. You are complete, and his power is sufficient over all spiritual forces in your life. How many of you know that's encouraging? And then he tells us or shows us some pictures of the relationship that God has with people through Jesus Christ. And the first of them, of all things, is circumcision. You'll notice verse 11, in whom, that is in Christ also, ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So that instead of what is external, as it was with the covenant God had with the people of Israel, now what God is doing is he's working in your heart. He is doing an internal procedure in your heart in which he changes your heart. And then in verse 12, there's another picture. He said, you remember back when, after you put your trust in Christ and you stood before a congregation and you were baptized and you identified with Christ publicly that you were Christ? Do you remember that? He describes it in verse 12. He says, you're buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And he said, back, you remember when you were baptized, you were buried in the likeness of his death. And when Jesus died, you said, by faith, I'm putting my sins on Jesus Christ who died for my sins. And he came out of the grave alive. He was resurrected. He was quickened, made alive. And just as he came out of the grave alive, and after sin's penalty was paid, when I put my trust in Christ, he took my penalty, and now he's given me new life as my sins are forgiven. This new relationship that I have that brings freedom and power. And all of this is something that is done by the operation of God through faith. So when the moment I put my trust in Christ, he did a work inside of my heart that transformed me, made me a new creature with a new standing before him. And the application of this relationship is described in verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and this uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened, made alive together with him, having forgive you, given you all your trespasses. So the moment that you or I have put our trust in Christ, if that is your story, the moment you put your trust in Christ and you are resting in him alone by faith to have your soul saved and your sins forgiven, that moment you have a new righteous standing before God. It's not because of you. It's because of the work of God on your behalf through Christ. And then as you walk in this newness of life, then God continues that work. You're forever settled with standing, forever saved. But in that relationship, then you walk yielding to him, and he continues to bring you into a right fellowship with him, and his power becomes evident in your life. So Israel comes to Gilgal, and they had to submit to God's will. They had to be circumcised. So for you to move past the past, you must yield to the Holy Spirit and allow him to make true in your experience what God says is true in his word. You see, there are things we read in the word and we say, this is true because God says it's true. But in our experience, it may not be. But what happens in your life is, as you believe God and submit to God in your life, the things that he says are true can become your experience in your life. Wow. You know, there are people who do not have power to go forward in their present because of the shackles of the past. Israel came to a wonderful place, a place of new beginning. The past was left in the past. And now they come to this next place in their life. But before they go forward, they have to be willing to submit to God in their present. And as long as you are letting your past keep you from submitting to God in the present, you cannot be free from the past. Submitting to God in the present makes you free. Now, there are some people that really don't want to be free from the past. They'd rather hold on to the past. They're carrying around baggage they don't need to carry. And the past binds them like fetters and chains. Maybe you're one of those people. You're letting the past control your life and your destiny and all that God has for you, and it's holding you back. But how do I get past the past? Well, you get past the past by believing God and trusting God in the present. And every time that I say, God, I'm going to take you at your word and believe you in the present, the chains and the shackles of the past begin to break little by little. And I become free. And as God makes me free, then I'm free to live in the present and free to go forward in the future. The past does not have to bind you and control you. And while some people loved holding on to the past, not you, you don't. Because you want to live in freedom. And you want to go forward and you want to watch God do some wonderful things in your life. You want to claim the victory that God has. You can't hold on to the past. And so you're willing to let the past be in the past. That may be the change that God is working in your life even today. Because there are things in your past that you have let hinder your relationship with God. And today is the day you say, God, would you forgive me for letting the past control me? Would you help me in my present to walk in newness of life, to submit to you in this area of my life today and believe you for power to go forward? So you deal with your past to restore your relationship with God. Then there's another reason to deal with the past. And it's found in verse 8 of Joshua chapter 5, where you've kept your place. Go back to Joshua chapter 5, verse 8. It came to pass when they had done circumcising all the people that they abode in their places in the camp till they were whole. Now Israel was camped in enemy territory. They're trapped between the Jordan River behind them, the great city Jericho in front of them. I don't know, that doesn't seem like a good time for all the men to be placed in a vulnerable situation. Every man disabled while he's healing. If you're an enemy, this is the time to pounce. This is the time to destroy. But God had to teach the people the vulnerability so they would live in dependence on Him. Now you would say, Lord, why would you do this here in enemy territory? We could have done this on the other side of the Jordan. We were over there waiting long enough. But no, God brought them to this place where they were vulnerable, because He was helping them learn to depend on Him. You know, God brings us to places of vulnerability. It's fearful to be in a vulnerable place. It's sometimes painful to be in a vulnerable place. And every time God allows you to be in a vulnerable place, what God is doing is He's testing your faith. Can I trust my God to take care of me when I'm at my most vulnerable? So we deal with our past to restore a relationship with God as a test of our faith. There's one final reason that we have to put the past in perspective, and that is to remove the reproach of failure. We read in our Bible, verse 9, that the Lord said to Joshua, "This day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off of you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal unto this day." The Hebrew word for roll is the word galal. And the name Gilgal is a play off of the sound of the word for roll. And it was a reminder that this is a time when they were willing to believe God. And this was significant for them because we're told these words again. I read in verse 9 that this is the day that God rolled away the reproach of Egypt. What is the reproach of Egypt? It's the old life of slavery, the old life of bondage, the old life of disobedience. Now they've come to a new beginning. And they said, let's leave the past in the past. Let's go forward in a new beginning. Do you need a new beginning? Everybody needs a new beginning. And in your life, when you come to those times where God is working in your life, and you say, I need to put the things in the past. I need a new beginning. Then you can obey God by faith today, and you begin a new beginning. You leave the past with God. And you seek the Lord today. Is God the Holy Spirit speaking to you about putting your past in perspective? The old life, the defeats of the past, so you can move forward into a new beginning. Oh, God had victory for them, but they had to deal with their past. So God changes our perspective of the past. And then there's another change that needs to be made for us to go forward in our lives. The second change that God tells us about is to put our priorities in order. We put our perspective or our past in perspective, and we put our priorities in order. And verses 10 to 12 tell us about two events that occurred to reveal a reorienting of the priorities of Israel. The first is a renewal to worship. So chapter 5 and verse 10, the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even, or in the evening, in the plains of Jericho. Years, 40 years before, the people were slaves in Egypt. Do you remember they were slaves on the plagues that God brought? And then finally, the last plague was the Passover. And do you remember they slayed the lamb and they had unleavened bread and they did this celebration or this ritual called the Passover, and the blood was applied to the doorpost and the lintel, and God passed through, and all who had placed the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, God passed over them. All those who didn't, the firstborn died. Do you remember? 40 years ago, they had celebrated the Passover. The next day, they get out of Egypt, and God liberates them. And then they're in the wilderness, and they come to Mount Sinai. And Mount Sinai, there God gives them the law again. And again, while they're at Mount Sinai, they celebrate the Passover. They move from Mount Sinai, it's not very long, and they rebelled against the Lord at Kadesh Barnea. God judged them with this 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. Here's something that is interesting. That in all the record of the wandering in the wilderness, there is not any record that the people of Israel celebrated the Passover at all during those 40 years. And now, having moved past the Jordan, putting the past behind them, now they're ready to go forward. But there's something they needed to do first. They needed to renew themselves to the priority of worship. So we read in our Bibles, chapter 5, verse 11, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And then we're told something else. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. Now, after the Passover is kept, there is immediately after that another festival or feast. It's called the Feast of Unleavened Bread. For 7 days, the people would eat bread without yeast in it. And so they come over Jordan. They're in the plains of Jericho. And the inhabitants, maybe they fled away in fear. They certainly were told they were fearful. Maybe they fled into the city. But here are all their fields. It's springtime. It's barley harvest. There's enough grain for them to celebrate the Passover. for them to celebrate the Feast of Unleavened Bread. But there's something that happened on the day after they celebrated the Passover. For 40 years, 6 days of seven, the people would wake up in the wilderness and they'd look outside their tent, and on the ground all around them was this white stuff. Had a little sweet taste to it. What do you call it?
Manna.
Means what is it? That's what they called it. Well, we'll call it manna. For 40 years, 6 days of the week, God provided them bread. On the Friday, they would get extra. He gave them extra because he didn't want them to make that focus on the Sabbath. He wanted that to be his day. And so for 40 years, every day God fed them with bread in the wilderness. Every day. The day that they celebrated the Passover in the new land, the next morning when they woke up, there was no manna. A 40-year miracle ceased. Wow. I mean, Lord, we have all these years we counted on you, and you provided us bread all these years. Now we're in the land, and they had to learn this. They had to not only renew their worship of God, but they had to renew their faith in the ways of God, that God would provide them what they needed as they go into this new part of their lives. Every time God moves you forward into new areas of your life, you're going to say, Lord, are you enough? Lord, can you provide for me? Lord, can you help me? Lord, it's fearful. Lord, I'm fighting enemies I've never fought. Lord, I'm going places I've never been. Lord, I have needs I've never had before. Lord, are you going to be enough? Can you help me? And there's a place of faith in your life that says, Lord, I'm going to be willing to put my priorities in order and trust your ways that you will do everything that I need to fulfill your will in my life. And it could be that God is dealing with you because he wants to take you to new places and he wants to do new things in your life. And you have to say, Lord, my priority in life has to be your worship. Does it matter? Oh, yes, we are a redeemed people. Redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. People that are broken and need his help. People that he wants to manifest himself in us and his worship, whether it's your personal submission to him, whether it is corporately with other members of the body of Christ, whether it is your investment in others as a body, and to say, God, we will make your worship and doing things your way our new priority. Aren't you tired of doing it on your own, getting nowhere? Really? Aren't you tired? So the change that God may be dealing with you is the priorities of your life. Well, three changes that God wants to make in our lives. Put our past in perspective. Put our priorities in order. And then there's another one. There's one more change that has to be made that God tells us about in Joshua chapter 5. A change that needed to occur for Joshua to lead the people into the future that he had for them. We read about it beginning in chapter 5, verse 13. We'll read through verse 15. It came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as the captain of the host, the armies of the Lord, am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. And he said to him, why saith my Lord unto thy servant, or what saith my Lord unto thy servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. A generation before, Moses met God personally in a burning bush. Do you remember that? And when God met Moses personally in a burning bush, God spoke to him and said, take off thy shoes, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I'm going to be with you everywhere you go, Moses. He told Joshua, Joshua, I was with Moses, and as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And now, before any battle is fought, before they go any further into the land, Joshua meets with this captain of the Lord, Lord of hosts. And what does he do when he meets him? He falls on his face and he worships. And as Moses was told, take off your shoes, you're on holy ground. Joshua, take off your shoes, you are on holy ground. He met the captain of the Lord's hosts. This is called a theophany. You'll find this in the Old Testament when God would make an appearance to individuals and he appeared in the form of a man. This was not just a soldier. This was the Lord God appearing in human form. And here's what happened. When he comes in form, he said, listen, I want you to know that I am a God that will be with you in every way, but I want you to know that I am the God who is a soldier, a warrior who fights for you. And this is the third change that needed to take place. To plead for God's power and God's presence. For God, whenever you face the enemies before you, to be the God that fights for you. When you go into the unknown, to be the God that fights for you. When you face battles that are beyond your power, to know that there's a God who fights for you and he is enough for you. Now, Joshua, what an impressive man. From his time as a young man, all these years being trained by Moses, chosen of all the men of Israel, chosen to be the man that would take them to places they had never been to claim the victory that God had. An impressive individual. He had just led the people, 1.5 to 3 million people, over an impassable barrier. What a man! But as on that day he meets God, he came to a very important realization that you must come to in your life for you to move forward. I'm second in command. I'm the leader, but I'm not the captain of the Lord's hosts. God is the God who leads all things, and my life must be yielded to him. With his power or without his power, without his presence, this task is impossible. You know, in your life, what God does is he brings you to tasks that are impossible. Unless you say, I'm second in command and I yield to my God. My hope is in him, in his power. How many of you, when I say the name Hudson Taylor, that rings a bell to you? I guess it was a century and a half ago, Hudson Taylor was a wonderful man used of God in the land of China. And Hudson Taylor was meeting with a small group of missionaries, and they were seeking what God would have them do as they move forward in their work to reach people in China for Jesus Christ. And in this meeting, Hudson Taylor told the people that there are three ways to do God's work. One is to make the best plans we can and carry them out to the best of our ability. Two is, having carefully laid out our plans and determined to carry them through, we may ask God to help us and to prosper us in connection with them. And then he said there's another way. And that is to begin with God and ask his plans and to offer ourselves to Him to carry out His purposes. I read the words of Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3. When God tells us this, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. Well, there's a question for this day. You've been asking this question. You've been asking, God, through Your Word and by Your Holy Spirit, would You show me the changes You want to make in my life? Now, I'm believing that God, the Holy Spirit, has answered your prayer. Now, with God having shown you that change that He wants to make in your life, now you have to ask, and I'm going to ask you, will you do them? Stand with me, please, and our heads are bowed as we stand before the Lord.